This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, the history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful, Jeffrey.
I don't know how you're so chipper this morning. I have aches where I didn't know I could have aches.
Yeah, so yesterday was the fifth annual Beat Cancer Boot Camp Challenge.
They should have renamed it Beat Your Butt Boot Camp Challenge. Well, that's holy mackerel.
That's why it's called a challenge, ooh, Jeff.
It was challenging.
So it was a 5K obstacle course, and I'm still picking the mud out of what's left of my hair.
And your chonies.
No, you know, I've done a couple of these.
Fred, please. Visual, remember.
No,
radio, but don't give us all a visual.
No. I've learned from my past errors because I did the challenge last year.
Uh-huh.
I've done the Warrior Dash, and there are simple things you can do that I didn't share with you at the time.
Nice.
But whenever you wear shorts, make sure there's no pockets in them at all.
Yeah, that would have been good to know.
Because you go home with pockets full of mud. Bring a change of clothes, wear your crappiest sneakers that you can throw away that day.
Again, good to know.
And bring some flip-flops for afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a shirt, so the shirt's fine. But, those are some simple things. And then, they spray you down at the end.
Yes. That was the best part.
But, you know, the
hose down.
The funnest part of that was the fact that we sort of, like, goofed off the whole time. And we were recording people on trail and taking pictures and such. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to broadcast some of those comments from the event.
Yeah, the hilarity.
Yes, the hilarity and mud ensued. So, Jeffrey, did I say, let's see.
Like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And you can download the show on iTunes.
Yeah, and actually, if you go to fredandjeff.com, you can also download the show from there and see pictures of us and all of our shenanigan antics. So we tell people, you know, there is so much stuff to do in our beautiful community, and we want people to go to fredandjeff.com and check that out at the current events or the upcoming events tab. There's a page full of links to all sorts of stuff coming up in the community. But some of the stuff that I think is going to be really fun, Friday the 22nd and Saturday the 23rd of this month, and also Sunday, there's a matinee, they're going to have Heather Henson's Handmade Puppet Dreams at the Puppets Among Us Playhouse. And apparently there's a 7-volume series that was made by Heather Henson. And Heather is actually Jim Henson's daughter. Jim Henson, obviously...
Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah, the big Muppet guy.
Right.
So it's very cool because the folks over at Puppets Among Us met her when they were in Kazakhstan doing their thing. And they're going to, over time, they're going to show all 7 volumes. But this is volume 1. And it's Friday the 22nd, Saturday the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. And then Sunday matinee at 2:30.
It's not easy being Fred.
This is a little bit further down the line.
Let's talk about something that happened this last week, started this last week, and that was the grand opening of the Warden Aquarium at the Desert Museum.
It's been open.
No. It just opened, didn't it?
No, we've talked about this. Remember when Dad got all upset with us because we were talking about the mollies?
Yeah. But we talked about it, that it was opening, but the grand opening... was March 14th.
Is there like an event grand opening?
Yeah. It was a grand opening. The new aquarium will tell the story of the importance of water to the desert.
And the
one fresh water gallery and one salt water gallery featuring native fish,
yeah,
invertebrates, and other aquatic life.
Baja, California, or Baja, the Baja Peninsula.
Now, if I remember correctly, Frederico, when you were Mr. Rio Nuevo 12 years ago, however long it was, this idea was one of your little cool things that we should do downtown.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was not your idea?
No, it was part of a large package that came from some of the community members.
And so...
But dude, that topic is for a show later in today's lineup, now.
Okay. But I just, I saw, you know, as we've been talking about this aquarium that's now open at the Desert Museum, that I always remember you, how excited you were when that thing
there,
got...
There was something called the Snorren Sea Aquarium that was going to bring life from the Baja Peninsula.
Life from Mars. No, the Baja Peninsula.
And have an aquarium downtown. But at the time, aquariums were failing across the country, and we couldn't get it to pencil out. So I'm really happy that the Arizona Snorren Desert Museum figured out a way to do that.
Yeah, and it's...
Or actually, we should try and say these things correctly. The Arizona Sonora Desert Museum.
Right. Well, they're having all-day fun stuff going on down there.
You mean on March 14th?
Yeah, but it's...
Which goes
from March
a few days
14th
ago?
All the way until December 31st of this year.
Okay, cool.
So if you missed it last Thursday, you've got the whole rest of the year to check it out. And beyond.
Forever.
Check out the Mollies.
Okay, you could talk to Dad this time.
I know, he's calling right now.
And speaking of Dad, the Copa Room Poker Casino and Sports Book is coming up. Save the date for April 12th, 2013. It's a huge poker fiesta that supports Angel Charities for Children. And it's actually the Angels Men Group that's putting this thing on. And there's...
Led by the fabulous Mr. Bill Cox, right?
Is he doing it?
Well, I think he was the originator of the Angel Men's Auxiliary, which is kind of funny because, you know, as a lot of folks out there know, Angel Charity for Children is a bunch of high-powered ladies in town that raise a ton of money.
I like they give away $1 million a year or something like
that. A lot. They've done it for years and years. Well, they always have their big event around the Christmas time, and they would always recruit the men to come in and build the toys, you know, build the bicycles and build all the stuff. So when they did their event, people could see what they were actually getting. And so I think these guys hung out long enough over so many years of building toys, they just decided to turn their group into to do something fun.
Well, if you go to angelcharity.org, you can find out more about all that fun.
And those are just my memories, though, Fred.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have a discussion about memories versus history soon.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yes.
Later in the show. The last thing I have, Jeffrey, and this is a couple months out, but I love this organization. The Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Pops Concert is coming up on May 11th at Catalina Foothills High School Auditorium. And there's two performances, a matinee and an evening performance. And those kids just sing their little hearts out. And they're actually getting ready to go to China this summer.
Sweet.
So get your tickets early for the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Pops Concert on May 11th.
And
the Ambassadors in Blue Jeans.
Yes, our Ambassadors in Blue Jeans. And finally, our little updates. There's always recruiting going on at the Reading Seed. The Reading Seed for Children's Literacy. So if you guys are out there and you're spending, you've got a little time on your hands and you want to help kids learn how to read, please give the folks at the Reading Seed a call at 798-0700, and they'd love to get you dialed in to help our youth, the youth of our community.
The youths
learn how to read.
Well, okay.
And that's all I got for you.
Well, do you want to move on to...
No, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with our fun first guest. And so, folks, stick around. There's a lot more fun here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other...
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson. And Fred.
What?
Aaron Gobra.
I don't know Aaron.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Fred.
Schluncha.
Schluncha. Yeah, we forgot to talk about how our friends out there are probably having a green bagel or some green beer or
you know,
something
I am
today.
So morally opposed to green food items,
what?
Unless they are naturally green.
Oh.
I mean,
see, there's a lot of fun things about you, Fred, but then there is such just the little kid who is just a pain in the rear.
I don't like green food. I don't like green beer.
Unless it's naturally green.
Yeah, but it's fun.
I think drinking a Guinness on St. Patrick's Day is more fun than drinking some generic food color dyed beer.
Okay. What else you got?
That's
over there,
my
Fred?
Opinion.
That's
a, and
well,
I'm sticking
Fred,
to
you're,
it.
You're entitled to your opinion.
So visit us at friendjeff.com where there is no green beer or green
but
artificially green dyed items.
Yes. I think the rest of this part I'll talk like an Irishman. What do you think, Fred?
I don't know.
There's just no fun in you. There's no bit of the blarney. There's no. Come on. There's Irish in us.
I'm like, I know we're a little bit Irish.
Yes.
It was beaten out of me by the nuns.
Oh, here we go.
So I just can't go there.
All right.
You know, we have a new pope.
Yes, Francis the First. Congratulations.
I have this new sense of guilt reborn.
I got to tell you what.
When the white smoke came up, I was like, oh Lord.
See, and it's what's funny is. When that white smoke went up, I was sure I was going to get the call. I just couldn't believe that they picked him over me.
Yeah.
Could you imagine me as the Pope?
No, I could not. No, I couldn't. But, you know, we were talking about this earlier. This is the fifth Pope in our lifetimes.
Isn't that crazy?
And a lot of people only see one in their lifetimes. We've seen five. Name them, Jeff. Actually, you know what? I have a $25 gift certificate.
What?
To the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum.
Good stuff right there.
So if we get someone who can email me at fred@fredandjeff.com, mm-hmm. That's the first step. You have to be able to email me.
fred@fredandjeff.com.
And give us the name of three of the last five popes. You get a gift certificate.
And is Francis and John Paul I and II, are those the low-hanging fruit?
I don't know what you're talking about. Benedict and I think...
John.
Was it John or Paul?
George and Ringo.
That's right.
I don't know who sang that song.
Okay, so our
first guest today...
You can do the introductions because I just dropped something. I got to find those gift
Michelle
cards.
Michelle Murphy. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing great. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, to you too.
Thank you.
And Michelle, you're the executive director of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation of Southern Arizona.
I am.
And the way, and you heard my inflection of Southern Arizona, like you guys would be called something else.
It works for us.
Tell us what you do.
Well, I help in Southern Arizona to raise funds to find a cure for cystic fibrosis and to improve the lives of those living with cystic fibrosis.
Well, what is cystic fibrosis for those of our listeners that don't know?
Cystic fibrosis is an inherited genetic disease that affects about 30,000 people nationwide, 70,000 worldwide, and it is, quite honestly, a really insidious disease. It's the number one genetic killer of children, and it affects the way the body processes chloride. So it affects the lungs, it affects the digestive system. And we've come a long way. The median age now for those living with CF is 37.
Wow. What did it used to be?
Well, when you and I were kids, children frequently didn't live long enough to go to school.
Really? So you guys have, you know, made great strides.
The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation has made tremendous strides. They identified the gene in 1989, and they've worked with pharmaceutical companies over the years to develop targeted therapies. It's complicated by the fact that there are about 1,800 different genetic mutations that cause cystic fibrosis.
And they've already figured out all these 1,800 different genetic mutations?
Well, they figured out the different genetic mutations. They so far have actually found one therapy that was approved by the FDA last year that targets the underlying causes of cystic fibrosis for one of those genetic mutations.
Oh, man.
And if we can support... the research financially, they are on target by 2017 to have a control for 95% of those living with cystic fibrosis.
Okay, that's amazing.
It is.
What does that mean? Does that mean it's a cure, or does that mean that kids that can live to their mid-30s can now live to their mid-50s?
Great question. It's not a cure per se, but it's a control, so that living with cystic fibrosis will become similar to living with diabetes. Folks will live long lives and...
As long as they manage their health.
As long as they manage their health and keep up with the care.
Isn't that like the rest of us?
Well...
I mean, if we all manage our lives, we can keep up, you know, we can live long lives.
True. Most of us aren't facing a life-threatening illness like this.
Though. Right, right. No, I'm not making light of it.
No.
I'm just saying that their lives will be a lot more normal and a lot longer than they are today.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely, yes. It's an exciting breakthrough.
Now, when you say if we can support it financially, what kind of dollars are you talking about?
Well, the new therapy that came out last year, Kalydeco, costs about $300,000 per patient per year. And that's because...
Wait, what was that number again?
$300,000 per patient per year.
Holy mackerel.
Right. And that's because the research is so expensive to develop these therapies.
And is the research just happening in the United States, or is it happening worldwide?
It's happening worldwide. The CF Foundation partners with pharmaceutical companies and CF foundations in other parts of the world to promote this research and to fund the research that's happening.
So it's not just America paying for the research and development. It's the world is pitching in on this one.
It's very much a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a group effort.
That's awesome.
Global.
Yeah.
Global that
effort.
Works.
Yeah, that's great. That's
it's
great.
Exciting.
So
it's very exciting.
Yeah, what are you doing locally to pitch in?
Well, coming up in a month, actually 4 weeks from today, on Sunday, April 14th, we will be having our first fundraiser this year, and that's our Great Strides Walk. As you aptly used the phrase, the CF Foundation is making great strides to defeat cystic fibrosis. And we'd love to have everyone in the community sign up to come out and join us on the U of A Mall. Check-in starts at 8 o'clock, and the walk begins at 9. It's a fun-filled family day, and it's a fundraiser. It's a pledge-based event. So if you're able to participate, we'd love to have you sign up now on our website and gather a team. Get your colleagues together. Get your family, your friends, and plan for this event and get them to support you so that we can raise this money and continue this vital research.
So how many people does a team consist of?
As many as you can pull together.
Okay, cool.
The more the merrier.
Okay, so it's not so like when Big Brothers or Big Sisters had their bowling, you know, you had to have four at least to have a bowling team. But this could be Fred and I and anybody else that wanted to come out and walk with us.
Could be. Have you got friends?
No.
We have our mom and dad. But we could get anybody that we wanted to have a team. Is there a minimum to raise to join a team or to have a team?
There isn't. There is no minimum. We just ask that you make the effort to support our cause financially.
Awesome. How much do you want to raise in your event?
Our goal is $155,000.
Okay. Totally doable. Fred, you got your checkbook?
No, I left it at home. Okay. It's actually covered in mud from yesterday.
Yeah, I believe it. My cell phone's at the bottom of that bog in there somewhere with all those pictures on it, darn it. So, Michelle, it's Sunday, April 14th at the U of A Mall.
Yes.
We will put a link on the Fred and Jeff Show website to get to where we want folks to go to support the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
And it'll be on the upcoming events button page.
Fantastic. And, thank you
yeah,
so much.
Absolutely. And today's, let's put it on today's page as well.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. And we got a couple seconds left. Is there anything that anybody you want to say thank you to that's supporting your event?
Our title sponsor is Conex Incorporated, and they've been a wonderful partner over the years, and we're so grateful for their support. We have tons of support of in-kind donations that are coming in to help us with the day.
Now we need the dollars.
Exactly.
The dollars. And so, last question. Did you say 2017, if you guys are on target, 2017? So really, in about 3 years, you're going to be looking for a job?
I hope so.
Good. All right, we could use a little help here on the Fred and Jeff show, because by then I'll probably have beat the crap out of Fred.
Uh-oh.
It might be the Michelle and Jeff show. All right, well, good luck.
Thank you
good
so
luck,
much.
And thank you for what you do in our community. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, FRED.
Well, we've given stuff away. You know, let's give some more stuff away, because our next guest, I think we're just going to go all the way to the end with her.
Okay.
So
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Well, we're not going to have any time to give stuff away in the second part of the show.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So let's give away, a dozen roses.
From Mayfield's Flowers.
From Mayfield Flowers.
How about a bouquet of green flowers?
No, because green roses are not natural roses.
You are the worst. Is there anything about St. Patrick's Day that you like?
Guinness, I told you already.
Anything else?
See, I will drink Guinness on St. Patty's Day. I will diverge from my typical tequila to support, my Irish heritage.
Okay.
But it's green food coloring is not Irish.
What is it?
It's green food coloring.
All right, Fred. I think you've beaten that horse enough.
All right. So the first person to tell me how much they love Guinness at fredandjeff.com, you get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist.
And of any color, yes. So all right, folks, we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour with our next guest. So stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show. The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, the history, and the culture of Tucson and Southern Arizona. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can even subscribe to this grand old program on iTunes. And Jeffrey, if you care to tell people the complicated...
It's not complicated.
And
the, beyond pod.
Like the 10-step process.
Oh, you're such a cheese. It's beyond pod.
Dude, you did it right in front of me. It was like, it took forever.
It took 30 seconds. So all 30 right. seconds, Beyond Pod, great application for your Google phone. You can
it's
also
an Android app.
An Android application, right? You can also, they'll send you our funky show once a week.
Yeah,
it's
but,
good times.
Okay, let's do this. You download the app, then you have to go do something else, and then do something else. And
you
then...
know how you were irritating me with the green thing in the earlier show? Now you're irritating me with the Beyond Pod. It is, if people know Google, they'll understand it.
Yes, they will.
They're not simple-minded eye folks. They just need to press a button and then it pops up.
That's the way life ought to operate. You press a button and it's right there for you.
Perfect.
All right, so where are we at? Okay, so in studio with us, we haven't done a history show in a long time.
Yeah, at least a week or two.
But we always talk about the people in Tucson. The five things we always talk about. And this is from an old-time family in Tucson. Mary Peachin is an adventure writer. She's written a bunch of books on sharks. And she's...
Scuba diving, sharks, the sleek and the savage, a complete idiot's guide to sharks, sport fishing in the Caribbean. Clearly, she figured out how to make some money off of her favorite thing to do.
That's true, but she's also, I guess, a legacy of the retail industry. Her dad was a retailer here in Tucson, Levi's department store.
Both my father and my grandfather, who started Levi's in Douglas in 1903.
Well, welcome to the show, Mary Peachin.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Thanks.
With both little Ronstadts.
Yeah, one littler than the other. Thank you. So you tell us about when your family came to Arizona.
Well, my grandparents, Mamie and Jacob Levy, came to Douglas, Arizona because my uncle, who was a foreman on the bull gang, on the chain gang or the bull gang for the railroad, told them that Phelps Dodge was going to create a smelter in the city of Douglas, and it was going to be the next boom town. And they had a little dry goods store somewhere in Texas or something, so they got in their wagon and they hauled themselves to Douglas as fast as they could, and they set up a tent between the saloon and the gambling hall. And they lived in that tent for a year, putting their wares out on the street.
Now, when you say a tent,
I mean a tent.
Like, how big of a tent are we
talking
about?
Not a very big tent, because it was a year before they lived in a concrete building.
Wow.
Which was still between the saloon and the gambling hall.
Well, you know, you always had fun in either direction, right?
Well,
that's called foot traffic.
Well, right, talking about either direction, when the bull is payday, when the miners would go in and get drunk in the saloon and they'd start fighting and then the bullets would start flying, my grandmother put my uncle into she didn't have a washing machine, but, you know, the old-fashioned metal tubs, so he wouldn't get shot.
Wow.
So things were kind of woolly, but the, you know, store continued to prosper as Douglas prospered for many years that the smelter was open.
And to give us an idea, around what time was
that? That was 1903.
1903. And then how did they make the transition from Douglas to Tucson?
Well, when my father was 17 or 18, he came up to the University of Arizona, and he convinced my grandfather Jacob to open a store in Tucson. And they opened Levy's, which they renamed Levy's of Tucson, downtown, and were there for many years.
Many years. Matter of fact, our Uncle Oscar, who's 101 years old, worked for Mr. Levy.
And Oscar was every child's dream man. I mean, not only was he the best-dressed shoe department salesperson, but he had a live monkey in a shoe department that everybody wanted to come and play with.
Early marketing techniques.
Early marketing.
Did you know about this monkey?
Remember, Uncle Oscar used to always want us to call him Uncle Monkey. Don't you remember that?
No.
Hey, Uncle Oscar, call me Uncle Monkey. Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
Well,
he was famous for that monkey. You know, today it wouldn't be appropriate, but back then it was a very well treated monkey.
That's awesome. And that was when it was downtown. When the store was downtown. Did that monkey find its way to the Elkhorn store?
No. And my father was the first merchant to leave downtown. He didn't leave it, but he opened a second store at Elkhorn. And he would only go if he could take another anchor. And at the time, there were three retail stores. There was Levy's, Steinfeld's, and Hockamy's. And Hockamy's went with because he firmly believed that a mall should have two anchors. So Levy's was at one end and Steinfeld's was at the other, and Hockamy's was tied into a lease downtown and they couldn't leave. So that was sort of the beginning of Elkhorn, and that was, I'm guessing, in the 50s, late 50s.
In the 50s. They'd already bulldozed the old Elkhorn Hotel at that point.
Correct.
El Conquistador.
The El Conquistador Hotel, right.
Right.
So you have a lot of memories of the things that have transpired here in the Old Pueblo for many a decade.
Many, many, including you just mentioned the El Conquistador. El Conquistador, I used to go horseback riding there every week. I mean, it was all desert.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when Jeff and I were, you know, high school and we're driving around town, anywhere probably north of River or Orange Grove.
Desert.
Yeah.
Desert. There was no La Paloma. There was no Ventana Canyon. There was no Miraval Resort and Spa. I mean, these were all fabulous places.
Well, and you are kids. I mean, there was nothing beyond Country Club when I grew up.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Kolb was probably the
end of the world.
End of the world for us.
Yeah, we thought we had a we have an aunt and uncle that live what Broadway and Kolb, Speedway and Kolb area, and would on Christmas Day we'd load up the car, mom and dad load us all up, we'd all go out to Sylvia and Whitey's house,
and it'd take you like, 2 days.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah, it was like we were going to the end of the world. You know, and that's before they had little eye touches and little things to play with. So basically, Fred and I would count the number of cactus, or we'd count the number of – Fred would get red cars, I would get white cars, and whoever saw the most car of their color would win. And, you know, that's how we entertain ourselves driving to the other side of the planet back in the – you know, back in the early 70s. So 2 cents changed a bunch.
It has changed. I think when I was born, I don't think we want to talk about that. But I think there were like 15,000 people here.
15,000 people. And you're a spring chicken.
Yeah, I am.
That was just the other day.
Seems like it. You know, up until I drop.
So where do you come up with your ideas for your column? And folks, this kind of leads us into the next thing that we want to talk about is you write a column for Inside Tucson Business about people's memories of the old Pueblo, about Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Right. I write a column for Inside Tucson Business. It's the first Friday of the month that it's published. And it's, I'm trying to start with 90-year-old people and get to them first because, you know, the Ronstadts are definitely on my list. But
we're on everyone's list.
Jeff's only 89, though.
Yeah.
But, it's not a subject. I've been a travel writer, adventure travel writer, mostly about diving and fishing. It was not something that I ever thought about until David Hatfield said, boy, you know a lot about Tucson. How about doing this memory and interviewing people? And the column's been so successful that I'm hoping your listeners will – you know, get in touch with you or me and say, hey, I've been here for 50 years, or I fought in World War II, or I've got a great story to tell you about the past.
We'll definitely put your contact information on our website at friendjeff.com so people can do that. But in honor of our good friend Jim Turner, who is the show historian, I want to just quickly differentiate between history and memories.
Right.
Because, as Jim would tell us, history are things that you can verify. There was newspaper articles, you know, multiple sources that you can nail down something occurred or there was some artifact or there's something there to show that it's factual. Whereas a memory is somebody's memory.
Recollection. Regardless, and there might not be anything written. Like Fred and I talking about coal being the end of the world.
Right.
It was definitely not true. But that was our recollection.
Well, the nice thing about memories, and particularly when I interview or talk with some of the people who have been around the longest, they get things out of sequence. And
sure.
I said, you know, that's not what's important. This is memories. It doesn't have to be actually factual.
Right.
I mean, it should be factual, but...
But the dates times and yeah.
Right.
But we have to take a quick break.
Well, I was going to say, because it's germane to this point, Jeffrey, that memories are important because they tell about the person's perception of what happened. And, you know, a great friend of the show who passed away recently, Dorothy Finley, had wonderful stories about all sorts of things that happened here. Seal Peterson as well. Wonderful stories. But those were how those people perceived the old Pueblo at the time.
Right.
And it's wonderful to get their perception of our community.
They're great leaders, and it's sad that we lost them.
Yeah. Great point, Fred. Now, we got to take our last break. We'll be right back with more of Mary Peachin's memories. So stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson. And you know what's funny is a minute ago, Mary looked at you and went, "Hey, are you that city councilman? I didn't really recognize you because you don't have any hair anymore." Now, yes. That's a memory.
That is memory.
You have a memory of Fred having a full head of hair.
And doing a great job as a city councilman.
Aww,
and I admire people that are willing to make that kind of commitment. And for you, the two of you, to have a relationship where you can sit and kid each other and call you little brother when you're, you know, 3 feet taller than he is.
Well, and a few stone heavier. But.
Oh, here we go. So, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. We talk about the people, places, history, and events that make Tucson and Southern Arizona so darn wonderful.
This is our motto.
It is our motto.
And you can't get it right.
I did. And we're here with Mary Peachin, travel and leisure author and the author of the memories column in Inside Tucson Business and local friend. You know, guys, when I'm always telling people, I'm asking you guys, get out and meet your neighbor. Get out and meet your neighbor. You never know who lives down the street from
you're
you.
You're the last neighbor I met.
Mary and I have been living in the same neighborhood. We've been there for 13 years. You've been there for how long?
30.
And I'm following my daughter down the street one day. She's riding her bike. Just keep an eye on her. And you and I run into each other on the street. And we just
And we're both so shy and reclusive.
Right. And we strike up a conversation. I'm like, wow, this is great. I had no idea you were my neighbor. So it works. Get out there and meet your neighbors. And Mary, okay, so I want to get back to your column in Inside Tucson Business. You write the column called Memories, about folks' memories of being here in Southern Arizona and the things that they've done in their life. And a couple of the columns that I want to talk about are two of my favorite. The first one is of our friend Fred Boyce. Our friend Fred Boyce. Tell us about...
Yeah, Fred Boyce is just one of the... I would describe him as the ultimate gentleman in this town. And he served on the Board of Regents, was president of the Board of Regents. I'm not sure there isn't anything he hasn't done. And he's been a long-time rancher and...
businessman and father, grandfather.
There almost isn't anything you can't say that's not nice about him. And I wrote this column. I got the Cattlemen's Association wanted permission to reprint the article. Somebody else wanted to reprint it.
He's just a very well thought of, very well liked gentleman here in town.
He's just a great guy.
He is. He really is.
Top to bottom.
And one of the things that I think strikes me about your column is the questions. It's not a typical question and answer kind of column. You're really kind of get into their, what Fred was saying before we had the break, their perception of growing up and working and living in Southern Arizona. It's very fun to read.
And one of the things I've always said to Fred, who is a very good golfer, is that when I grow up, I want to be able to play golf with you. And, you know, most men would turn their heads with, you know, high handicapper and he's shooting, you know, his age. And we'll play. And he took me out and played golf with me. That was pretty special.
Yeah. And tell us about Basie Tankersley, because you knew her as well.
Yes. You know, sadly, Basie died recently. And both of her daughters helped me because she was well enough known that I could do a lot of research about her in addition to talking to her, because she was beginning to fail last summer when I was doing this. But when I write these columns, I do it in a way that it's almost a tribute to the family. And when she passed, I got a call from one of her daughters who lives in Florida, because Basie died not only whatever illness she had, but her youngest daughter died this fall, very unexpectedly. So her other daughter said, you know, she died of a broken heart, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate because I have a little history, you know, in the column. It's friendly. You know,
it's very friendly.
And so I try to make it as a tribute to the family that they can look back and, you know, share with their family and yeah. friends. You know,
one of the things that I hear a lot from our family, and our family has been in the region for, you know, a long time, is somebody saying, you know, I really wish I had talked to so-and-so before they passed away. I really wish I had, you know, so-and-so write their memories or this or that. And I hear that a lot in this community. You know, people have older family members that have not only lived here, but they've had extensive lives all over the world. And you were saying during the break that your articles have been focused on the people you know. But there are so many stories in this community that we need to get them calling you up to get them all archived.
Absolutely. I would love to talk to the people that I don't know who have been in Tucson 50 years or even less, that have, you know, significant memories or have made a difference in this community that people should know about.
You know, we find that a lot of those folks are reticent to talk because it would be like they feel like they're gloating about the
showing
time
off.
Or they're showing off, or maybe they're nervous because they don't remember it too well and they don't want to offend anybody else. But that's not what you're about.
That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm working on the Creole family now. There's five generations of Creoles and they're all named Leopoldo. It's very confusing. But if they're not all in exact order, you know, I'm having the families send me one to five of the generations. And, you know, it will be nice. And I hope that they will appreciate the tribute. And I hope they will celebrate a century of providing mortuary services to our community.
Well, and being great community citizens, great members of our community. You know, I think
the things they contribute are amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think that gets lost. You don't have to have a last name to be a fabulous Tucsonan. And we've proved it time and time and time again here on the show when we talk to folks that have everyday lives, but they do a little something extra that makes a big difference to the folks in their neighborhood or the community. And whether it's guys like Charlie Spillar that are out there trying to put a new drive-through or drive-in movie theater, or whether it's Mia from, you know, we're going to have her from the International Film Festival and their passion for film, whether it's you capturing people's memories. I mean, the key is it takes so many people to make a community wonderful, and you don't have to be a Ronstadt or a Levy or a Boyce, because we all do it. And you capture those memories, mm-hmm. and you want to capture those memories.
I do.
Yeah, tell us who your favorite...
Well, actually, before we go, I just thought of this. So I think it would be really cool if you could identify a single event in the Creo family life that all five of those guys knew about or participated in, and separately get their memories of that one event and see how they compare.
That would be impossible.
Well, the most astounding event was...
Three of the five are gone.
But Leopoldo, the second generation or third generation, was standing in front of a firing squad in Mexico, and he was going to be shot because he was a city councilman. And
I know
the
how that feels.
Family raised enough money to get him released.
Wow. And what year, do you remember what year that was in?
This was in the 1800s, and the only condition on which he was release after the family paid
the ransom, you know,
the ransom was that he had to get out of the country. And in those days, the border was open and he came to Tucson.
Wow.
But still, if you have a family event and get different people's, you know, memories of that event. Because we had a thing where somebody wanted to know about something that happened with our family, and there's like six of us and all six had different stories.
That's true.
You know, and Fred has just taken the idea behind your column and put it in one sentence. Different perspectives, different memories, all giving you the same perception of who we are as a community and a family.
Right. Yeah. I recently had someone say that their wife or someone in their family died from some disease that they used to call something. And the current generation wanted me to use a different word. And it took something out of the context of sentence.
Well, the vocabulary from 50 years ago is quite different. What's politically correct today or back then may not be today. And just as a way of making your point, there's on Netflix, you can get like old time cartoons from the 20s and 30s. And they are so politically incorrect that you'd never see any of that stuff today on Nickelodeon or the Cartoon Network because of how they depicted, you know, different groups of people. But the folks that live back then, that was just part of their vernacular, part of the way they spoke and part of the way they thought. So, Mary, thanks a bunch for coming on the show with us today.
It was great. I mean, we could sit here and talk about history forever, and maybe we should do this on a regular basis.
We'll have you back because I feel like we just scratched the surface on what it is that you're up to out there. And folks, if you have a family member or a friend that's been living in Tucson for at least 50 years, go to the Fred and Jeff Show website and we're going to put Mary's way to get a hold of Mary on that website and send her an email. And you're always looking for folks to talk to.
Right. And they can even send it directly to me at mary@peachin.com or go to my website at peachin.com.
All right.
I welcome that.
All right. Great. Well, thanks again.
And well, thank you. And thanks for doing this show. I think it's great.
Thanks. Fred, another great show. I'm going to go home and soak my knees in a little ice.
Get all the mud out of the rest of your clothes.
That's correct. And my shoes. I should have left them out at Brandy Fenton. All right, folks, have a great week. Please get out and meet your neighbor. Enjoy the weather. It's gorgeous in Tucson now. And stick around for Dave Sitton and his 3 hours of fun stuff. And we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
I hear something saying. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, ooh.